Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. This morning being Sunday, September 29th, 2019. And we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we are so happy you all could join us today on this beautiful Indian summer day in Plainfield. Okay, we will start with our prayer, Florence.
Yeah, from page 220 of Miscellany. Each day I pray for the pacification of all national difficulties, for the brotherhood of man, for the end of idolatry and infidelity, and for the growth and establishment of Christian religion, Christ Christianity. I also have faith that my prayer availeth, and that he who is overturning will overturn until he whose right it is shall reign. Each day I pray, God bless my enemies, make them thy friends, give them to know the joy and the peace of love. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. And each day, it's a beautiful prayer to have in our hearts to pray with every day. Okay, we'll do the watching point, Linda.
Watching point number 491. Watch that you keep your joy, as Mrs. Eddy once said. Christian scientists have thin walls and thick walls to break through, and they must watch against the claim of discouragement when they work faithfully and see no immediate results from their work. Discouragement is no more than an argument of animal magnetism designed to stop your good work. No one who is doing fine work can escape being assailed in this way in order to get him to quit. The remedy is to recognize this fact and to mix joy with one's work. Why should error argue that our work is amounting to nothing unless it is amounting to something? The student who is accomplishing nothing is the one who is left alone. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, error never shoots dead men, end quote. Dead students are never met by the deterrent of discouragement to make them quit, since they are doing nothing.
Thank you. That's where that came from. Aaron never shoots dead men, Mrs. Eddy. So any comments on that?
I think it tells us to watch it when we're comparing, oh, I'm doing this and all this coming on me, and look at them, somebody's not doing anything and they seem to be so happy.
Absolutely right. It's not always a good sign. Thank you.
I'm grateful that we are forewarned and forearmed about this, because it does come up and you got to fight it. And thinking if it were to come up, I think my natural tendency before would have been to think, this is just happening to me. I'm sure everyone else is doing just fine. But knowing that this is a part of the work and that we have to handle it has been very, very helpful. So I'm really grateful for that.
Good.
And another thing I do, and I'm sure I got it either from my practitioner or from a round table, is when the work comes up and I feel like not doing it, I just ask myself, is it more loving to do this or less loving? And then if I feel like it's less loving, then I do it, whether I feel like it or not.
Good test. Anybody else?
I think it's also important to always know, you know, God is with me. I think this is very helpful, because sometimes just when you're about to turn the other side is when it seems the worst. It's like, I can't just go on one more. But the thought that no matter what, God is still here, it has helped me in some dire situation.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's important that we all realize that when we take up the study of Christian Science and the practice of Christian Science, we are in a warfare. I mean, that's just the way it is. False human beliefs don't want you to leave them for the truth. They don't want you to out of their clutches. So they're going to fight you. And if you, especially if you help others, it's going to fight you even more. So don't get discouraged. Don't feel like it's just you, and don't and understand why it is that you feel that way.
And you see, all of this, I mean, error really has no power to do anything, but it seems to. And when you overcome it, then you prove it's unreality. But if you say it's unreal and it doesn't, and you haven't proven it, well, then you're going to get shot full of holes. So you prove it's unreality by not listening to it and by overcoming it. That's how you prove it's unreality. Until then, it can seem very real. It's why it's called aggressive mental suggestion.
I remember a practitioner said, when you get discouraged and you're ready to quit, that's when the error is breaking. So make sure you keep going.
Thank you. It's very true, that thought that's always darkest.
Before the dawn.
So, and how sad it would be if you stopped before you broke through. So the point is, you just keep on. Rain, shine, wind, storm, fair weather. You keep on, keep on keeping on. That's, get that expression. And
as Florence said, when you are on the right side of this warfare, you have all the power of God behind you. And the battle that you're battling, the error, the enemy, is just false human beliefs, which have no power. So unless you give it to it.
Yeah, you give it to, and then it would seem to defeat you. But you're never defeated until you give into it. And I always love the last verse of a hymn, "Bend my heart in every strait, to the Father come and wait. He will answer every prayer. God is present everywhere." Okay, our subject today is reality, the golden text, Isaiah. Lil, you want to read it?
"The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever."
Thank you. It's the one thing we can always count on is God's word. It is our compass, this whole lesson on the word of God and how it keeps you safe on the safe road, straight and narrow, that word. If you imbibe it, you'll never fail. Other things will fail, even things you feel you've loved or trusted in, but God's word will never fail. Will always lead you out of any difficult situation if you apply it. Okay, and then Carol, you read the responsive reading, please.
"Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Thank you. You see, this goes along with the sower and the seed. It's all God doing it, and he will bring forth the good seed if we allow it to work within us. And, you know, we've often prayed this prayer, especially that last verse about our church, that the word goes forth and it will not come back void. And we need to be knowing this and working on it every day. I thought it was interesting what Parthens wrote on the forum. And it's communist China, where they're not allowed, they're rewriting the Bible, or not allowed to have it. But talks. What did he talk about? What was his YouTube on?
Digital feeds, things that they've made, and the people are finding them.
People are finding the truth online.
Great. And this, people don't have to smuggle their books into China anymore. They can send it over the internet.
And as I read once a while ago about how many of these people have most of the Bible memorized. Yeah. And where are we in all this? You know, sometimes it's all I can do to get people to memorize the 91st Psalm. Oh, it's way too long. I can't remember that. These people are memorizing whole chapters.
Books.
Yes, books. And this is what our church is doing and why we need to pray every day for the outreach. It's the word, capital W, going forth. This is Eddie's Pure Science. And we had a wonderful membership meeting this past week. And Jeremy's report, we have had 23,881 unique visitors from 117 countries who visited the website. And then he said when he was making the report, he saw the top 10 countries and the amount of users from each of those countries. The United States was 10,887. India was 4,089. Nigeria, 1,152. And it goes on, the Philippines, Kenya, Pakistan, the United Kingdom, Ghana, Australia, Bangladesh. And then he comments on our separate websites. And I know Uta's listening. So Uta, the German website had 236 people visit 1,937 times.
And these numbers are since May.
And he gives the numbers for Spanish website. 1,190 people visiting 2,626 times. France, 458 people visiting 2,978 times. So we are reaching. And also then the Middle East, these new places have been very active in Hindi and
Urdu, YouTube did very well.
And we're gonna increase that outreach after reading Parthens. What he said, we will increase that outreach. We have Napoleon has offered more translators to Iran and Persia, excuse me, Persian language in Iran and other languages. Whatever we can do to get this word out, we will. Now, of course, with that comes extra expense, but we know you're all contributing generously because this is our missionary work. So we will know that it goes forth. God is the one, and it will not come back void. And then someone questioned this week, and I thought we should talk about it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. That kind of disturbed her because she thought, well, is God not going to be around all the time?
So where is he going?
where is he going? Right? Where's he going? How come he's not going to be near?
Oh, okay.
It made me think of last week's discussion of the light. When we have the light, do it. And while we have a good vision of God, do it.
Yes.
So it doesn't get clouded.
Yes, thank you. We work while there is light, while the day is nigh. And so, what does this mean to ourselves?
That we have to keep the light going.
We do. We have to keep the light going, Nancy said. But don't wait until your problem is so huge and you just feel like there's no God or you can't find your way out. Don't wait until then.
I think we miss the preventative benefit of it if we do that. I mean, this is why we're to live it daily.
Very good for me. You know, we just go along, and maybe I'll say a prayer here and there, and then some huge thing happens. And then you're scrambling, and why isn't God here? Where's God? Well, where have you been? Now, if you're new, don't know better, that's different. But my goodness, if you've been in science, some for years and years, and you're just here, there, and everywhere, well, there'll be a day of reckoning. And how wonderful, as Florence said, use it as preventative so these problems never come in the first place. Martha Wilcox says this is the greater work. Not to have the problem in the first place. We can hear every word you're saying, so be careful. Yeah, we can hear what's on television, who walks in the room. So if Sharon mutes you, there's a reason. So, yeah, it's not that God is not near or that he's not to be found. It's because we've drifted away from him. So he seems like he's a God afar off, but he is never that, never, ever.
Well, and this describes a phenomenon that I know some of you are familiar with. When God directs you to do something and you are quick to do it, he will give you more to do and you will hear him more clearly. This is how you cultivate your spiritual sense. You trust it. You recognize that it's the only sense that you can rely on and trust. But if when God directs you, you question, well, should I or shouldn't I? Or is this God speaking to me or not? Or maybe it's not convenient? Or, gee, I think I should do something else instead. When you disobey, you take yourself in belief away from that still small voice, and next time you're not going to hear it so clearly. And if you keep doing that, eventually you're not going to recognize it at all. And that is when God is no longer near, because you've put yourself out of it.
Yeah, the voice becomes fainter and fainter and less distinct.
Now, God is always there. And someday you're going to wake up. But what is it going to take to wake you up? Better to be quick and obedient in the first place and not have to go through the pain and agony of having a sharp wake-up call.
I find that it's in the little things, too, that where I've learned. And it's really important because I'll get a thought, what I call an angel thoughts now, and then I'm starting to do it right away. Even though somebody said, oh, I can't do this, then I do it anyway or go forward, and it turns out okay. So
very good.
Very good. And that's how it will come to each one of us. It first comes in the, quote, little things. And what does it say in the Bible? If you have been faithful in the little things, Yes, I will. You will be master of the big things. Paraphrasing.
Thank you. That's
it'll be little wonderful things, but my experience is also be kind of uncomfortable things too. So you gotta move.
Yeah. Maybe it's the uncomfortable thing to speak up, or but you have to be obedient to that voice, or you lose it in belief, and then you wonder where God is. But if you develop and cultivate it, it gets stronger and stronger. You know, you begin to feel like it's just shouting in your ear. You could not do anything other than that, what that voice is telling you.
And that's when you have to deal with things like discouragement.
Because
when you are in the saddle and really doing what God wants you to do, then the devil's going to try to throw monkey wrenches into your operation, and that's when you have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. And press on.
I really liked what was said about the little things, because I just recently come to recognize that I've always ignored little things, because in material thought, a little thing like a cold is incurable, so you don't try to deal with it. I mean, you might take whatever to make yourself feel better, but the theory is you can never be cured. And unfortunately, I realize that they've always tried to work on the big things in Christian Science and ignore the little things. And now I'm realizing that by ignoring the little things, I'm losing that training, and I'm getting into this belief where things can't be fixed. So I'm now trying to work on anything that comes up. Some days I do better than others, but then to always attack the little things, and then it becomes easier on the big things.
Very good. It is.
And the big things won't even occur when you're handling each little thing as it comes up.
And if they do, they won't seem so big after all.
They won't. You've got the whole power of God behind you. And you know that because you've proven him, just like David and Goliath. He proved himself, David did, over and over. So when he had to meet Goliath, it was just one stroke with his
little pebble.
Yeah, tiny pebble.
Right? Certainly facing a big giant guy must be easier than grabbing a lion by the beard.
Yes. Well, you know, Mrs. Evans used to tell a story, and I think I understand it much more now than I did then, about a beautiful woman who went into a room and began to sniff the flowers. And she went farther and farther into the room. And when she came out, she was an old crippled lady. Now, what does that mean?
Well, and to further the story, when she first opened the door to smell the flowers, a little voice behind her said, don't go in. But the flowers looked so beautiful and smelled so good, she ignored the little voice.
Well, thanks, I forgot that.
And then the next time, the voice was fainter. And the next time, the voice was fainter, and eventually she couldn't hear the voice because she was smelling the flowers.
That's false attraction.
Thank you. That's it. It's a materiality of the world. It drew her in, and look what it gives you. Old age, problem, sin, disease, and death. That's your reward for getting entrenched in materiality that pulls you in. Oh, you want to do this? You want to have fun? You want blah, 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 whatever. No God in it. So, thank you for illuminating that story. Very importantly, it went more with what we were talking about than I realized.
All right,
then. Yeah. So, don't be lured into that. And know for yourself, it's a false attraction. I mean, I don't know, Carol and I were talking about something, I forget what, but she was saying, I'm so glad that doesn't even interest me. But it was something that someone else was attracted to, but...
And it just has no desire.
No. Who would want to do that?
Foolish. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. If something doesn't lead you closer to God, what's the point?
I think it's like this age of, drinking wine. It's such a beautiful thing. It's all these places with these special wines and everybody feels so grand. It's just one of those, I think.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. What's with all this? Visiting vineyards and all. I mean, maybe this stuff's going on forever, but all of this, and a lot of it is just marketing. Another that's come to our attention recently are these huge weddings. And, goodness me, not just the bride. Everybody gets their hair done, gets facials, gets Botox, gets dresses, gets... I mean, seriously, I heard someone talking about it. I said, you got to be kidding. This for a wedding? I mean, where is the true meaning of the wedding, of what it's about? It's marketing, people making a lot of money on all of this. Now, these are just a couple of examples of it. But anyway, don't go in that room sniffing the flowers. Because if you do, again, you've got much more to meet than you would if you hadn't.
You're so correct about it being marketing, because I remember the first time I took an alcoholic drink, it was terrible, tasted terrible. Yeah. But everybody was having so much fun and wanted to be part of the crowd, which I never was. So I was taught to like something that tasted terrible.
Exactly.
So it goes right along with that story of the smelling of the flowers.
Yes.
The little voice told me that stuff sucks. It's terrible.
You ignored it. Oh, I know. Smoking, all of that. Beer. I mean, beer tastes like soap suds or something. It's awful. What? How do you have to ever get used to drinking something like that?
It is so funny when you see people drinking and actually grimacing, and I'm like, why are you doing this? Oh boy,
that's so true. They do. They grimace.
7 years ago, well, you just have to get used to the taste. I said, why?
Right.
The better it gets.
Again.
No, that's it. I was told it's an acquired taste. Why would you want to acquire it?
Yeah.
And I think like the first people that tasted this, like they should have known right then. Don't go any further.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's a perverse sense of something to want to poison yourself,
Be a part of the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And where's the crowd going?
Yeah, where is it? They're going in that room sniffing. They're sniffing. So we had a wonderful Bible study on the Word, John 1. Thank you, Mike, yesterday. And then Psalm 119. I've always loved this because it's just loving God's precepts, loving the Word of God. We need to love it. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. All of this God's word does. And you will have more understanding. I mean, it's beginning notoriously so. All these super educated people are some of the stuck and stupid, as we've said. Because unless you've got the wisdom of God behind what you're learning, you can be thrown so off base, so far from God's truth.
And the wonderful thing about God's word and loving the word is that it's not an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Not something that you have to get used to.
Thank you. Yeah. But you grimace when you hear it.
It is normal and natural within each one of us. We just have to cultivate it and not let it be taken from us. So all you have to do, and most of you know this, just keep it in your heart. Don't let it be robbed from you. Don't let the sniffing of the flowers distract you. Let it prove itself in your life, because it will prove itself to you. And it's not like you have to take our word for it.
No, you don't. That's the wonderful thing. Please don't take our word for it. Prove it for yourself.
And this is how Christian Science spreads. This is how people gain an appreciation for the science of Christianity. They see it proved in people's lives. That's the most valuable thing that any of us can give to the world, is a life consecrated to this truth.
I would really notice the word quickened this week. And I was thinking, I've often told my practitioner that, you know, when we get together, it's a really wonderful time. And then afterwards, I feel energized to get back to work. And I realize that's what that is. I'm like quickened. I'm ready to get back into it. So
It is. The word of God is refreshing, quickening.
And the definition of quicken is to give life to something.
Yeah.
When it quickens you, it gives you the life.
Yeah, it's energizing. That's why if you lack energy, you know, pray for that. God energizes you in this work. Makes you feel like getting up in the morning. That's what Florence was saying this week. So happy to get up in the morning into this work. Everything else is secondary.
And that's what Jesus meant when he said, the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing.
Yes, thank you. And life begins to be a big bore, a big struggle, depression, all of this. And then, so then they do turn to the drugs, the other answers, rather than turning to the fount of all life, of all quickening. So we have now, says that the people pressed upon Christ to hear the word of God. They yearn for that word, and everybody does. I don't care if they're telling you they don't. I don't care if your kids are saying, I don't want to hear it. They do. And you just keep on. They do. And it's innate in everyone to want to know the truth. And then we have a very important story of the sower and the seed. Candy wrote very well on it on the forum. And in talking about it this week, I gave most of the people that called me the article Vainglory, which Jeremy put on the website, because Mrs. Eddy really talks about this indirectly in that article, the miscellaneous writings, and some of the things she says. And you should all study the whole article. I can't read all of it now, of course, but she starts with Comparisons Are Odorous by Shakespeare. And then she says, through all human history, the vital outcomes of truth have suffered temporary shame and loss from individual conceit, cowardice, or dishonesty. The bird whose right wing flutters to soar while the left beats its way downward falls to the earth. Both wings must be plumed for rarefied atmospheres and upward flight. The predisposing and exciting cause of all defeat and victory under the sun rests on this scientific basis, that action and obedience to God spiritualizes man's motives and methods and crowns them with success. while disobedience in this divine principle materializes human modes and consciousness and defeats them. Two personal queries give point to human action. Who shall be greatest and who shall be best? Earthly glory is vain, but not vain enough to attempt pointing the way to heaven, the harmony of being. The imaginary victories of rivalry and hypocrisy are defeat. The Holy One saith, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to me and my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river." And then, the Christian Scientist keeps straight to the course. His whole inquiry and demonstration lie in the line of truth. Hence, he suffers no shipwreck in a starless night on the shoals of vainglory. From lack of moral strength, empires fall. Right alone is irresistible, permanent, eternal. Remember that human pride forfeits spiritual power, and either vacillating good or self-assertive error dies of its own elements. Christian Science may be sold in the shambles. Many are bidding for it, but are not willing to pay the price. We are in the valley of decision. Then let us take the side of him who overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, of such as barter integrity and peace for money and fame. We cannot depart from his holy example. We cannot leave Christ for the schools which crucify him and yet follow him in healing. Fidelity to his precepts and practice is the only passport to his power. And the pathway of goodness and greatness runs through the modes and methods of God. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That is the recipe to stay on this path. Anything that takes you off is vainglory. Pride, disobedience, competitiveness, comparisons, who shall be greater? And they can come, we might listen now and say, "Oh, that'll never happen to me," but they come very subtly and they're aimed for you. They're aimed to get you off the road. Sower went out to a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So what was that one about?
The only thing I can think of this is when people see our YouTubes and the suggested, and then just think it's not for them.
That's good.
Well, I think too, it's the cares of the world. People get all wrapped up in, it could be a million things, you know, redecorating my house or moving to a different place or trying to get a place in society or on your job. And then you start having one wing in the air trying to work, you know, listen to God, and the other wing is fluttering around and stuff that's tantalizing you, and you can't, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all.
Yes. Well, yes.
Yeah, and then there are, you know, and people who are sort of content with their human, you know, nonsense. They've sort of accepted life. A little good, a little bad, and they just aren't interested. So when they hear the word, they say, I'm okay. I'm all right. Good enough.
Yeah, it's a very superficial level of it. Or maybe it's, you know, personal sense. I spoke to that in the article I wrote about the sower and the seed. first edition, personal sense, just come because your next door neighbor goes, or, you know, you want to go out to lunch afterwards, or you're only interested in the loaves and the fishes. If you don't get your healing right away, well, I'm off to something else. And also those who just have it in belief and they haven't worked to understand the science. Who is going to speak?
No, I was going to say, and also some really are believing in something else. I mean, there's so much around these days and they really believe something else. Oh, I'll just go check this out and see. So you're coming doubtingly anyway. So, you know, it's just exactly, it's very superficial. You don't give your whole heart on it. So.
Yes, thank you. Very superficial. Yeah, and you pop from here, there, I'll try this, I'll mix it with this, I'll try something else. And you go every which way. And the Bible speaks about that, right? The wind that blows and people go in different directions. You have to stay with this. Candy wrote, those by the wayside are the people who hear the truth carelessly and receive it with contempt, tread on it, devour it. In other words, we cannot be redeemed unless we hear and listen carefully to, appreciate, heed, understand, and know it. So, okay, then some fell on the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture.
Well, that sounds to me like the part where you have to work at it. You have to do your daily work and keep the oil.
Keep your oil, right. Do your daily work.
Joy again, too.
Joy, yes. Keep your joy. Develop your roots. And also, don't speak over, you know, people jump in sometimes and they want to do this, that, and the next thing. And they're speaking over, they haven't developed their roots yet. They think they have, but they haven't. And when you do that, you're like a huge target for error. And the first little thing that comes up, maybe you'll get some kind of a correction. Oh, my pride is huge. You haven't gotten rid of your pride, so I can't. Nope, I'll just go on this by myself. I'm not going to listen to anybody else. I know it all.
I'm a tumbleweed.
You become a tumbleweed. Don't set yourself up. Come slowly, steadily, gently into this science. Don't come in as a know-it-all, because you will be blown out. None of us are know-it-alls. Only God knows it all.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, that, you know, you talk about the pride, and that's really one of the adamants of error, which is a rock, you know, and that's that rock disposition, that stony disposition that says, you know, you can't tell me what to do. And I know, I've been there, you know, that the pride rankles. And then eventually, if you don't see it for what it is, it'll spin you off.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You have to see it. The adamant of error and all of these things. That's why it takes work. That's why I always refer you to Pond and Purpose. You've got to work on yourself. And if you don't seem to get it right away, then don't blame everybody else or Christian Science and say it all doesn't work. You got to work it.
That's a good point. So, and what is the moisture?
Word of God?
Love.
Spiritual sense. Yeah.
I kind of think it was just the effort you put into it.
Well,
and the humility.
Thank you. If the rock is pride,
yep.
The moisture is humility. And what does Mrs. Eddy say about humility?
Lens and prism.
It is the lens and prism of this science. She says that it is essential for a student to grow. Not desirable, but essential.
And the other thing that can happen with this rock story is if, you know, you tell everybody about it, you go back to your church and tell everybody, and you tell your people and your family, and they say, what? That place? Mm-hmm. You're a cult. Don't go there. You're crazy. Are you kidding me? Don't go there. It'll just, it'll blow you away. You have to step by step, precept upon precept.
Mrs. Petty says in Miscellaneous Writings, humility is the stepping stone to a higher recognition of deity. The mounting sense gathers fresh forms and strange fire from the ashes of dissolving self and drops the world.
That's right. That's why we cannot make a god of any of our family, of our children, of our spouses, or anybody else. We have to have one God and obey him only. And then we will do the best that that can be done for those around us.
Yeah, I love that, what Mrs. Eddy says about humility. It's beautiful, and it is the truth. And those who have it grow in this science, and those who don't get taken away.
Instead of having stepping stones, they end up having stumbling blocks.
Yes. And then go ahead.
I was just going to say they go in their room smelling the flowers.
Yes.
I was going to say one of the rocks could be a stony heart, and the moisture would be more love.
That's love. Absolutely. Is always moisture. Love.
Absolutely.
Inspiration is oil, and that's moisture, and that is getting your thinking and your everything from the Father. So that's what inspiration means. And then the last seed sown among the thorns, and the thorn sprang up and choked it. So that is, we've talked about it a little bit, but it applies definitely here. When all the materiality of the world comes at you, you have the nice house you prayed for, you're feeling a lot more healthy, your pocketbook's a little bit fuller, you've got a lovely family, so why not just enjoy all this? It's very tempting. But
you'll enjoy it more if you put in God first.
You will enjoy it so much more, and you will find it to become very, very empty. And then, finally, the good seed. And that is, was brought out in Candy's forum, and also what I wrote, too, is something I used to think, oh, this was a story about everybody else, but not me. But we need to check ourselves daily on all of this, and make sure we've made our covenant to God, and we're keeping our covenant and staying on this path and becoming the good seed, because everything is at stake if we don't. Everything. And what a selfish turn if you go off. Now, there was one other thing I wanted to discuss that I thought was important before we end, and that is in Science and Health, citation 9. It is a grave mistake to suppose that matter is any part of the reality of intelligent existence, or that spirit and matter, intelligence and non-intelligence, can commune together. This error science will destroy. The sensual cannot be made the mouthpiece of the spiritual, nor can the finite become the channel of the infinite. Now, I mention this because in today's world, there's a lot said about AI, artificial intelligence. We have known that there are isms, I will call them isms out there. Mrs. Evans used to talk about elf waves. But these pulsating thoughts that come directed at certain individuals, or maybe just directed generally, subliminal messages, and they would get you off the path very easily if you are not knowing God is mind, God is my mind, God is the only pure and perfect mind, to know it every day, because serious things are being done. What I say is not the position of the church. It's what I think. But a lot of these shootings and people that do these bizarre things, I think they come under this, these impulses. You know, there are people, we've talked about it, that would like to see our country fall apart. And they say, have said, they have claimed, as we read a few weeks ago, they'll do it from within. And if people aren't claiming their intelligence as being from God, they become receptive to these
and wicked.
Wicked thoughts. And then we think it's this, that, and the next thing. We're looking in every direction except where we need to look. And truly, the only answer is in divine science. Christianity is wonderful and does great things, but it's Christ's Christianity, Mrs. Eddy's science, that will protect you from all of this. And Mrs. Eddy says that we will have to seek safety where? In divine science, yes. That's our only protection. The security for the claims of being are found only in divine science. So don't accept these weird thoughts that might enter as being normal or natural. We've trained here to know, stand porter at the door of thought. So, the word of God, and we're going to end with something beautiful by Mrs. Eddy.
From Message for 1901. Give us, dear God, again on earth, the lost chord of Christ. Solace us with the songs of angels, rejoicing with them that rejoice. That sweet charity which seeketh not her own, but another's good, yea, which knoweth no evil. Finally, brethren, wait patiently on God. Return blessing for cursing. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be steadfast, abide and abound in faith, understanding, and good works. Study the Bible and the textbook of our denomination. Obey strictly the laws that be. And follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ. Godliness or Christianity is a human necessity. Man cannot live without it. He has no intelligence, health, hope, nor happiness without godliness. In the words of the Hebrew writers, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. End quote. The question oft presents itself, are we willing to sacrifice self for the cause of Christ? Willing to bare our bosom to the blade and lay ourselves upon the altar? Christian science appeals loudly to those asleep upon the hilltops of Zion. It is a clarion call to the reign of righteousness, to the kingdom of heaven within us and on earth, and love is the way always. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.